Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Well, now in studio with me is Cameron Hill. The ice hockey team, the Belfast Giants, received a huge boost last week with the news that the former Chelsea goalkeeper, Peter Cech, will rejoin the franchise for this evening's Elite Ice Hockey League. The links between Ireland and ice hockey may not be immediately obvious, but the sport was actually adapted from an 18th century form of hurling. I don't believe it, Cameron.
There you go. There you go. Another one we can claim there, yeah. Pat. So
ice hockey is ours.
Ice hockey's ours. And there's a brilliant documentary from T.G. Cahir in 2017 called Puck and Nail, where Jared Lochnallan kind of traces the origins of hockey all the way back to this place called Windsor in Nova Scotia with a man called William Cochrane.
Now, who was William?
So he was originally from Omagh in County Tyrone, a school principal in Nova Scotia, very much a British loyalist. He moves to New York, but doesn't quite settle there in the post-Revolutionary War society. So we're talking 1775, 1780 when he moves there. So he goes up to Nova Scotia, still very much a British colony. And many of the Irish immigrants to Canada were Protestants from Ulster, and he sets up the King's College in the town of Windsor, becoming its headmaster in 1790.
Now, he was one for the PE, wasn't he?
He was. He put a huge emphasis on the importance of physical activity in educating boys. So moulding them into strong young men was his prerogative, and was part of this movement that really emerges in the 1850s called Muscular Christianity, but it existed as far back as the writings of Jean-Jacques Rousseau, and Gerard Manley Hopkins, if you've ever read any of his poetry, loves this kind of stuff. So it was a real belief at the time. It's still informs quite a lot of our thinking around education today in some way. But Cochrane saw hurling as the perfect embodiment of this.
But the idea of the sport develops moral fibre in the young.
Yes, if you're good at sport, you're good at everything else, was sort of the credo of the day.
Mm. Now, what about hurling? Being from, if you like, the Protestant side of things, and I'm sure Protestants played hurling too, but they wouldn't be necessarily associated with it today. But was hurling, if you like, democratic?
Sort of. So you actually had two styles of hurling at this time in the late 18th century. The Leinster version, which was where the base of the hurl was much wider, more what we know today. You were allowed to catch the ball, strike it in the air. These Ulster Protestants played ground hurling. It was a thinner, narrow stick made
more like
of
hockey.
More like hockey, yeah. They were made of hickory or cherry wood, the sticks. Thinner, narrower, and you could play it along the ground. So Cochrane used this sport in the summer months to train his boys into fine young men, but when the winter comes in Canada, don't know if you know, it gets quite cold and things freeze over. So he needed a sport for when the colder weather set in. So he invented a sport played on ice, similar to hurling, but with narrower sticks again. And the local Magma tribe created a wooden ball. They were using a leather ball, a schlitter at the time, known as a puck, off the word puck from Gaelga, meaning to strike. And ice, hurling on ice or hurley on ice, eventually becomes ice hockey.
My goodness, and the puck that we're all familiar with, is that's absolutely definitively from the Irish.
Indeed, Puck na Nail.
So that was him to prove it, wouldn't it?
Yeah, and it was in Nova Scotia at the time, it was known as Break Shins. That was the nickname it was given. So it gives you a clue as to the violent nature of hurling hadn't quite been taken out of the sport just yet.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC. Hersey.
Okay, so it was called ice hurling, and now we recognise a precursor to ice hockey. But how did it get from Nova Scotia elsewhere?
Well, I'm going to need a bit of help on this. And someone who helped with that documentary, historian Sam Kingston from University College Cork, detailed to me how the sport grew from the grounds of King's College to becoming a national phenomenon in Canada.
Thomas Halliburton, he kind of verifies the story. It was called Hurley on Ice was the name of the game. Halliburton was a kind of famous writer, maybe in the 1830s, 1840s, so on. But he was a student at King's College in Windsor. When he was older, he wrote back about his youth, and he mentions playing the game of Hurley on Ice. So, like, that's a really big sign that it was hurling, like, you know. And I guess, as I say, like, it kind of evolves over the decades, and then it kind of moves around Nova Scotia. And so, like, it eventually kind of, like, it winds up in Halifax, which is the capital of Nova Scotia. And we're talking to the 1850s, 1860s here now. And then there was a guy called James Creighton, would have been playing the version of of hockey or ice hockey in the 1860s, like, over in Halifax. Then what happens then is James Creighton moves to Montreal in 1872. He organized the first game of an indoor game, like a proper six on, well, it wasn't six on six, but like in the 1870, it was 1875, he created the first kind of team versus team game.
So that reference by Thomas Halliburton, he actually wrote about this, so we have a definitive account.
Yeah, in his 1844 publication, The Attaché, there's a quote saying, "You boys let out racing, yelping, hollering and whooping like mad with pleasure on the playground and the games at base in the fields or hurley in the long pond on the ice." So clearly this had captured the imagination in Canada and was spreading to places like Montreal and then Ottawa and finally Toronto.
So, given the number of Irish emigrants, did we kind of take this game to our hearts?
Indeed. So the Montreal Shamrocks were formed in 1895. In their early years, not a very successful team at all, but then go on to win two Canada Leagues and the Stanley Cup, which is the most prestigious title in ice hockey, in 1899 and 1900, led by Art Farrell and a really interesting guy called Harry Trihey. This was the only team made up primarily of Irish Catholics in an otherwise Anglo-Protestant league at the time. And Trihey becomes this very popular person within the Irish-Canadian community. He helps organise the Irish-Canadian Rangers and became its commanding officer when the Union was called upon during World War One. So he wanted a self-contained Irish-Canadian unit in the British forces that were slightly separate. He gets somewhat betrayed by this. The British were initially promised that they could stay as a single unit on the front lines, but when they arrived in Britain, they were broken up. And Trihey actually resigns his command in disgust, returns to Montreal, and goes to New York beforehand, writes in the New York Post in 1917, "The Irish Canadians wonder if the conscription of 100,000 Canadians would still be necessary if the 150,000 men comprising the English army in Ireland were set to fight in France."
Aha, uh-huh, there's the rub.
There you go.
The rub. Now, what about the professionalism of the game?
So it starts to grow. A new professional organization known as the National Hockey League was formed in 1917. One of its founding members was the Toronto Arenas, who won the first Stanley Cup of this new professional era. 2 years later, they were renamed Toronto St. Pat's, and by 1922, they claimed their second Stanley Cup. Move towards the end of the decade in 1927, the team has really fallen on hard times financially, fears that they might have to be dissolved. And Con Smith, whose father hailed from Gracehill, County Antrim, takes over the team but changes the name to the Toronto Maple Leafs. And that's very crucial.
Why?
So he was a staunch Protestant, a staunch Canadian patriot who fought in both World Wars and was wounded twice. In his biography, Kelly McParland writes that there was no doubt to which side of the sectarian divide he stood in Toronto's Irish community. She says his anti-Catholic rhetoric flowed freely, yet several of the men he regarded most highly were ardent Catholics. So
he didn't want St. Pat's, basically.
He didn't want St. Pat's.
Even though St. Patrick would be the antecedent of all Christians on the island, I suppose.
Indeed, yeah. And has been embraced by Protestant and Catholic alike. But you have to remember that Toronto was this deeply divided sectarian place. It was known as the Belfast of Canada in this era. And
how did they do as the Maple Leafs?
They did pretty well. They won a further 11 Stanley Cups, their last coming in 1967. In fact, it's the last one they've won full stop. And Smith sold the last of his shares in the Maple Leafs in 1966 in protest after a boxing match featuring Muhammad Ali was scheduled for Maple Leaf Gardens in the team's home ice. He was, as I said, staunch Canadian patriot, fought in both World Wars, and objected to Ali's refusal to fight in the US Army in Vietnam, reportedly stating that the gardens were no place for those who wanted to evade conscription in their own country.
Now, have we had any Irish stars in ice hockey?
There are six Irish players have played in the NHL, the men's league, all coming from Ulster. Jack Riley's birthplace is given as Birkenlaw. The best guess is that he's from Bracklowney in County Cavan. And Owen Nolan's family lived on the Farrells Road in Belfast before leaving for Canada when he was just 7 months old to escape the violence of the Troubles. The really interesting one here is Geraldine Heaney from Lurgan. She also left Belfast with her family during the Troubles, took up ice hockey along with her brothers. Once they arrived in Canada, found a place on a girls' team, then joined the WHL, the NWHL side, the Toronto Arrows. She would stay for 20 years, signed up for Canada's women's team ahead of the 1990 World Championships. They hadn't realised she wasn't a native Canadian. She'd never gotten her citizenship, which came through 2 days before the championships were due to take place. She manages to play, win 7 world titles and a gold at the 2002 Winter Games at Salt Lake City representing Canada.
What an extraordinary story and a name that we're not familiar with. Geraldine Heaney, yeah. We should carve that name with pride.
She's one of the greatest sports people, they reckon, that nobody in Ireland's heard of.
Cameron Hill, what a fascinating story. Thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2 times the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.